It's a phrase from popular movies. It's also a question that comes up in our daily life. The question is that even legal? We talk about the things that drive you crazy, the things you won't believe, and the things you need to know and understand. I'm attorney Bob Sewell, and this is the podcast, Is That Even Legal? Let's get started. Today's guest on the show is Stephanie Woods. Stephanie and I have a lot in common. We both practice in the area of probate and trust. I focus my practice on the evil side, the probate and trust litigation, while Stephanie is on the good side, where the good guys are, all the planning side of probate and trust. But we're both also fascinated about the story of Michael Orr. As a reminder, Michael Orr is the lead person or the lead character in the story, The Blind Side. He became a professional football player, and we're led to believe in the story that he's adopted by the family, the Tuohys. And he has a fascinating backstory because he was born of negligent and abusive parents. And in 1996, at the age of 10, he becomes a ward of the state. And he's living on the streets. He is at different times. He's in foster homes at different times. He eventually gets this scholarship to a private school. And that's how he gets introduced to the Tuohys at this private school. And when he becomes 18, the Tuohys, who had him over at from time to time at their house, make him an offer. Come live with us, and we'll let you keep going to school at this private school, and you could just live in our house. And like I said, at that point, we're led to believe that he becomes adopted by the Tuohys. He goes on to play football. We know that's true. And that everyone lived happily ever after. That's right. I got that right, Stephanie?
That's what we're led to believe, and that's what the movie makes you believe. But as anybody who's paid any attention to popular news right now, that's not the case. And as an attorney, as things are coming out in the news, it just doesn't make any sense. None of it makes sense to me from the legal perspective.
No, it doesn't make sense to me either. And when I first heard the story, I was sent down to the producer right after the story came out, the producer of the show, the fabulous Paul Ward. And we're like, and I said to Paul, this makes no sense. And why doesn't it make sense to you? What sort of struck your imagination?
Well, the first thing is that he is saying that he was led to believe that he was adopted. And yet the court paperwork clearly says that he's under conservatorship. Don't know how many of our listeners have followed the conservatorship world, but there's been a lot of movement in that world over the last couple of years with the Free Britney movement, right? And so a conservatorship is an entirely different thing than an adoption. And so that was the first thing. It was like, why in the world would you do a conservatorship? But the individual who was under the conservatorship thinks they're being adopted into the family.
Right. That was weird to me, too. And when the story first came out, I should add that the story is he claims he was duped into believing he had been adopted. And he claims that the Tuohys took his money from the Blind Side, that he was supposed to get more than he got from the Blind Side movie, and that they ate up all his money. And that's why the conservatorship is so troubling, because a conservatorship in my state, and I think in your state, is to manage a person's money, a person who's not competent, someone right. who is, you know, who has a super low IQ, someone who has special needs and is mentally deficient, someone who is elderly and is mentally deficient. That's what a conservatorship is about. And So the thought that this would become, that he would be subject to a conservatorship when he graduated from high school, had a successful career, finished college, or at least went to college, that guy doesn't need a conservatorship.
Right. It makes no sense. And in my state, so I'm in New Mexico, as you know, and you're right. It's for the conservatorship is for the management of the money. And we actually, our states had a lot of turmoil or new regulations and statutes that have come out to make sure that the conservatorship isn't granted in unnecessary times or unnecessary situations. Right. And so the conservatorship here, they use the phrase least restrictive means, because whenever you're under a conservatorship, your rights are actually stripped away. You're a protected individual. You cannot make decisions any longer. And a lot of people may realize, I keep referencing Britney because it was a big news item, and a lot of people may realize it now, but back then there wasn't as much conversation and the general news media about what a conservatorship does and how it affects the protected individual.
Right. And that's the thing. You may need a conservatorship if the person is a minority, right? They're under the age of 18. You may need a conservatorship. But with Michael, he was over the age of 18. And I think you actually read the order, because you're over the age of 18, you come in, and the judge is going to say to the 18-year-old, do you want these guys to be your conservator? And if so, why? And I don't know what Michael would say at that point.
Yeah, and the order didn't actually say what Michael said, but the order does go into that the judge believed that it was necessary. So the judge put the conservatorship in place. Interestingly, the judge did not make an order that Michael was incompetent, which in my state is a requirement. I think in almost every state. I'm not licensed in Tennessee, but that's where he was located and where the order was done, Tennessee. In my state, that's a requirement. And then it goes on to say that the TUIs are going to have full authority for the medical and educational decisions of Michael, quote, in the same vein as if they had been his natural parents and guardians, end quote. That strikes me odd. Does that strike you odd?
It strikes me incredibly odd. And the reason is, when my kid turns 18, I have no rights to control his money. I have no rights to control his healthcare decisions. My child, he or she can give me those rights. I mean, that's why the Stephanie Woods are around in this country.
Right.
What would you do instead? If you wouldn't choose a conservatorship, what would you do for the...
You would do a power of attorney. And right. If you needed healthcare decisions, you would do a healthcare, in my state, it's called a healthcare directive. In other states, it's called a healthcare proxy or a healthcare power of attorney. But yeah, listen, Bob, when I was 18, if my parents had tried this, all heck would have broken loose. Like, there is no way my dad's going to have money going to have access to my bank account. You better believe I have his credit card and I'm going to use it at 18 to buy myself Chick-fil-A if I want. But he's not going to be able to see my finances and control my finances. And so it blows my mind that this was done whenever he was of age.
And the other thing that's weird is the reasoning that the TUIs gave for the whole, they recently gave reason. Well, we wanted to do the conservatorship, they said, because he needed to be quote unquote part of the family. They said NCAA would not have allowed Michael to be eligible immediately for the Rebels, the football team, without the conservatorship. That doesn't make sense to me. They say, well, it's because we were the boosters. We were deemed boosters of the program. Again, it doesn't make sense to me an 18-year-old can't be eligible, you know.
It makes no sense. An 18-year-old isn't eligible because his non-parents are boosters?
Yeah.
No one will say that I am a football expert or know much about the NCAA regulations and restrictions and all of that fun stuff. But even if that was the case, let's say there was some weird regulation that said you cannot have an 18-year-old living in your house and going to our school under this regulation because you're a booster without a conservatorship. I find that very weird, but let's say that's the case. Then why didn't they terminate the conservatorship after that was over?
Right. It doesn't make sense. And like you previously mentioned, a power of attorney would, if Michael, first of all, an 18-year-old is not the sharpest tool in the shed. I have two children who are 18 and older. I remember being 18. You don't know Jack at 18. You don't know anything.
Right.
And the thought that he's going to need help with healthcare issues, he's going to need help with managing his finances, and especially with the talent he had and the trajectory he had. Yeah, he's going to need some extra help. And so go to your attorney and say, how can we get him this extra help? And then Stephanie Wood says, well, the way you get extra help is I'll get you the power of attorney, and you could then act on his name. And then when he's done with you, he could just say, I revoke the power of attorney.
Exactly. And one of the fun things about this, I say fun because I'm an attorney and it intrigues me. It's not fun to the people that are dealing with it. But one of the fun things about the power of attorney is that it's almost instantaneous. You can do it within an hour, even less. You don't have to go to court. It doesn't involve court. It in most jurisdictions, in New Mexico specifically, all you have to have is the document, the individual. So in this case, Michael would need to sign in front of a notary, and you're good to go. And so it doesn't make sense that they would go this far. And what I always tell my clients that come to me with these concerns, often I have clients coming to me saying, mom's doing well, but she's making some funny decisions. She's competent. I talk to mom, she's competent, but she does want some help with her bank account and paying the bills because she's forgetting to pay them, et cetera. And I tell them, let's do a power of attorney. You don't need to go through the court to get a conservatorship. There's annual oversight with a conservatorship. It's an expensive process at times, especially if it's contested. And it also takes away mom's rights. And so we don't want to do that. Let's do a power of attorney. The only downside to a power of attorney, in New Mexico at least, is that they can revoke it at any time.
Right. Yeah, that's the, as long as mom is still cooperative. And sometimes we get into a situation where mom doesn't realize she has dementia. And
right.
She says, I'm going to give $500,000 to my boyfriend. And I've seen this case, by the way. I'm going to give $500,000 to my boyfriend who lives in Africa. And
yes.
And when that happens, you got to say, and you can't do that. No, you can't tell me what to do. I revoke your power of attorney. Yeah, that then you need a conservatorship.
Exactly. Exactly. That's when you go that route.
And so I do have a theory about this case. And I think, and my theory is that this was just bad lawyering. Maybe I'm being too Pollyanna, Stephanie. I don't know. But that this was bad lawyering and a bad judge, a judge who didn't quite understand the rules. I see this happen quite a bit. Probate is a very unique world. And you get a judge, and the judge was a really good prosecutor or defense attorney in criminal law. And then they get on the probate bench, and they have to be educated about probate through the attorneys.
Right.
And so my theory is that we had a judge who wasn't super educated on the subject. And then we had an attorney who frankly just didn't understand either, you know, and we end up with a bad legal product. Tell me I'm wrong or tell me I'm right. What do you think?
I'm going to give you the attorney answer, which is maybe. Right. I just don't. My concern about it being just bad legal advice and a bad judge and lack of education is that it still doesn't sit well with me.
Sure.
Because the reasonings behind it don't make sense still.
But let me argue back at you, because I agree it doesn't make sense and it's bad lawyering from the beginning. And I think it was bad for the Tuohys. It was bad for Michael. The attorney was a close personal friend of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that Michael referred to the attorney as Aunt So-and-so or whoever her name was. And perhaps she's trying to do a solid for the family and she just doesn't know.
Why wouldn't she then explain to Michael that this isn't an adult adoption? Why did Michael think for decades that he was adopted? That I think that's the biggest red flag to me, that this isn't just bad lawyering. I can't say definitively what it is. And I want to believe that everybody had the best intentions at heart. But at some point, someone dropped the ball with the explanation. And Michael wasn't incompetent. It's not that they were dealing with someone who had, you know, a fifth grade level mindset or mental capacity and couldn't really comprehend. Additionally, if the Tuohys say that this was the only way, I mean, I've read reports that have said that they thought that this was, they told Michael specifically that they had to go this route because he was an adult now.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How hard are adult adoptions?
They're super easy. I mean, you could just get them. You just fill out the paperwork, you show up in court, and it's actually a beautiful thing when you've seen it done.
It's a beautiful thing.
The kid works to, you know, the kid has always been raised by stepdad or stepmom, and they've had nothing to do with the no account, other, you know, bio dad or mom. And they show up in court and the family hugs afterwards. They're grinning ear to ear. We love you so much.
Oh, it's lovely. It's so easy.
Yes. Yes.
Much easier than a conservatorship.
I will say I am a foster parent for a nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And I am his permanent guardian. Okay. I did not adopt him. And that was conscious decision. I think I could see this happening here too. And the reason is, you know, when my nephew were to become my child legally, he would lose a ton of benefits. Because when he graduates, when he turns 18 and graduates, he's entitled to a stipend from the state to help him get on his feet. He's entitled
because you're a foster parent, right? Not because he's your kid.
Because he's not legally my child. He's a ward of the state.
Yeah.
He's entitled to a scholarship of a certain amount that would get him through any of the community colleges and half of the larger state schools. He's entitled to health care till he turns 21. If he is in need of healthcare, and there's several other benefits too that end up come along because you are a ward of the state. Now I know that sounds a bit mercenary, but he is, you know, he will need the help when he turns 18 if he wants to be independent. And
right.
And if he wants to be independent of me and my wife, and that would be his choice. And so I could see the Tuohys saying, okay, how do we preserve the benefits? I don't know if this is really the case, but I could see this happening where he says, how do we preserve the benefit for Michael? And, you know, remain involved to help him.
And the attorney. And that plays really well with the theory of bad lawyering, right? The attorney right. says, oh, this is the way to go. And maybe that's exactly what happened. I still struggle with the communication to the individual. And this right. is something I do a lot with my clients. I don't know. I would love to know the percentage of your clients that come in. And one of the reasons they're in your office is that something was a surprise after death, right? Always. I tell my clients.
Every one of them.
Exactly. I tell my clients over and over, do not make anything a surprise. Communication is key. And I'm an over-communicator. Don't know if you've realized that about me, Bob, but I communicate about everything. I'm an open book. And so that's what I want my clients to be, because it prevents so many issues. And if that was the case, if the Tuohys made that decision consciously to assist Michael with his benefits and the ability to qualify for these things, that's awesome. Have the conversation. Have the conversation.
Right. Because he's left saying, I thought I was a member of your family. That would be the ultimate betrayal. Feeling that way.
Can you imagine? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, bad lawyering. I can't imagine that everything they were seeking to do could have been accomplished through a power of attorney. I mean, I'm a booster. Would you consider my non-child to be at your program? Come on. Sure. We'll consider your non-child to be at our program, your program.
Right. And then it makes me think, because I don't know anything about the NCAA regulations. It makes me think, either. You know, what were they trying to get around? Was there something else? Like, was this a cover up for something else that they did bad to get him into the program? That doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird. I don't know. I think we should follow the story and do an update as the story progresses. What do you think?
I would love that. And I think there's a lot of things people can take away from this, even if they're not adopting or fostering or caring for someone that is in this process. The biggest thing is, anytime you're looking at helping someone that needs help in the area of finances, use the least restrictive means possible.
Sure.
You know, don't take them to court if you don't need to go to court. Talk to an attorney and talk to them about alternatives to court. If you're with an attorney that's going to do something that's going to give bad advice, if you actually ask the question, are you just asking me this so you can, you know, pay for your daughter's wedding with my legal fees? Or is there another option? Those are important things to ask.
Yeah. And get a little bit of education on your own and then talk to an attorney in the area. If I'm in New Mexico, I'm not going to call Joe Schmo off the street. I'll call you, Stephanie. And
exactly. And my goal is that my clients never have to call you, Bob, even though you're not in New Mexico, because I don't want them to have to get to your part of the department.
just as a side note, we're having a will clinic. In fact, you were doing the will clinic. You were from the New Mexico side, and we were doing the will clinic for the people in Arizona. And someone said, you never want to have to call Bob Sewell. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I got a kid in college. Don't do any good planning. If you don't plan, then you could come to be my client. It'll cost you four times as much, but I still would love it because I need to send my kid to college. But
yeah.
I don't know. I loved having you on. Let's do it again. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
they could contact our New Mexico office or get on our website at www.davismiles.com. I'm under the attorneys in New Mexico. Our New Mexico office number is on there as well. They could also follow me on social media at NM Estate Pro, both on Instagram and Facebook.
Nice. All right. Thank you very much, Stephanie. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Is That Even Legal? Remember, this isn't legal advice. If you have a legal question for yourself, reach out to an attorney. Remember that we're fun, we're lovable, and we are here to help you. To my listeners in 62 countries across the world, if you have something you want to explore, email us at producer@evenlegal.com. And don't be shy about leaving a review for this podcast on your favorite podcast forum. See you next time.